CliffCentral.com.
All right, CliffCentral.com. It's Friday morning. We've got lots of stuff to get into today, including our podcast of the week, which I'll tell you about just now. George Meany is going to join us in a second or two. And we've got a psychic coming on because we thought, what the hell, start the year right. And let's talk to the wacky and the woo-woo and the esoteric and the metaphysical and see if they have some pointers for us. You know, it's not always the cynical Bulelos who have the answers to these questions. And God knows we tried with a tarot card reader, but the cards were just not working in her favor, and neither was her internet connection when we had her on Tuesday. So we'll see if we can get her back at some point too. But here's something interesting. The idea of a smart city. We've spoken about this before on the show a couple of times, where citizens' lives are improved by the application of technology, planning, sustainability. That's all becoming a global reality. Now, the Waterfall podcast is back with season 3, and it's absolutely amazing. Our host, Spike Ballantyne, speaks to experts from around the world about what goes into making a smart city work, from connectivity to waste management, public safety, environmental planning, and so much more. We also hear from Waterfall Management about the efforts being put in locally to ensure that the estate remains a world-class mixed-use development. If you've ever been into Waterfall, it's just unbelievable. It is a city within a city, and they are applying all of this technology to make it absolutely a world-class and a perfect example in South Africa of how these enormous estates can be run really, really well. And you won't have problems like I'm sitting with at the moment, where the Isinyoka came in last night and stole cables at my house. And I woke up in the dark, and I'm hoping that this power supply of mine lasts through the course of the show this morning. But that's what I'm putting up with. If I lived in Waterfall, I wouldn't be doing this, right?
Yeah,
I went to a restaurant.
Highly attractive.
Yeah. I went to a restaurant there. Jeez, mm-hmm. It's quite something, that Waterfall.
Right.
You know, you think there's impressive things. And I now know one person who lives in Waterfall. I might know other people, but this one person I know lives in there. My God.
Yeah.
My God. It's the way to live.
They've got you know, slightly more expensive properties. They've got less expensive properties. They've got old age homes. They've got schools. They've got shopping malls. They've got restaurants. They've got sports facilities. Yeah, and everything in there is managed by the Waterfall Management people, and they really are interesting to listen to. So listen live today, 10 a.m., or get the podcast wherever you listen. It's brought to you by the Waterfall Management Company and Attack, which is the company that did the developments in part of Waterfall. So really interesting stuff. Take a listen to it. It is just one of those series that if you haven't heard about it, you're going to wish that you had. So go and take a listen this morning. All right. It is time to speak to somebody called Star Brown. Now, Star Brown and her husband are psychics by the sea in Cape Town. They currently feature on Showmax in a show called Mena for Yona, and they will work around the globe on 4 psychic websites. They also are spiritual counselors, they're intuitives and psychic readers. And we thought we'd talk to Star Brown this morning about some of the things that she reckons might happen in 2022. And you know what? What the hell? We need to know. If Star has any ideas about what we can look forward to or what we must be careful of, I'm all ears. I don't know about you guys.
Yes.
You agree?
Absolutely.
Let's 100%. Take a listen. Because, you know, you sometimes hear from unexpected sources a little tip about what might be coming your way, and it helps you to make the right decision. So, hey, Star, nice to see you.
Nice to see you guys, too. How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, we're all right. I mean, I always get a bit nervous when I speak to someone who's a psychic, because you already know what I'm going to ask you. So I'm a little bit I'm trying to keep it exciting, you know, for you, you know.
You know, Gareth, you are such a light worker. There are certain people in this world which have been chosen to stand up, speak the truth, be brave, and you're one of those people. And people like you are really needed in the world.
Really? I thought I was the... Okay, so my first question to you as a psychic, am I the illegitimate bastard son of the king of Belgium? Because someone sent us this picture today, and I'm wondering if he's my real dad. So that's my first
question.
Could be.
You never know. Yeah. I mean, with the way that things are going with the royals in the world at the moment,
oh my God.
I do see most certainly for next year and the following year, anybody who is living a very crass lifestyle, the people which are wearing, like the Kardashians as well, anybody who's trying very hard to keep their secret are no longer going to be able to do that. And people are not going to be impressed by the fancy hats and the fancy outfits and the big fancy cars. And things are going to start crumbling. I mean, when I got hold of you a few weeks ago, I was talking about the Prince Andrew case with the royals and about the Sussexes and the Cambridges. And you can see how hard and desperate the PR team is working behind the scenes, trying to push the Windsors into the limelight. And Prince Andrew is the Queen's favorite son.
Yep.
And yesterday she had to strip him of his royal title.
Right.
And I mean, I used to be a royalist. I used to support the Queen and think it was all great. But at the moment, I'm just so disgusted with how they are stuck in the past. And it's really revolting to see how they're standing there on the balcony with their fancy clothes, and there's no, what do they call, displays of affection between each other. And these are meant to be the people that people look up to, you know? So I would not be surprised if the Queen doesn't actually last long during this year.
I was saying that. All right. So what do you think? I mean, you're a psychic. So what do you see on the cards for Prince Andrew since you brought him up? I mean, it's not going to be a great year for him, is it?
Not at all. But I do think as well that he should be on suicide watch.
Oh.
I mean, what happened with Epstein? I have no doubt that he was taken out. I mean, even Andrew's reaction to it when he was being filmed showed, of course, the guy was taken out. He had broken bones in the front of his throat, which only happens from being murdered, not from hanging. And if Andrew gets squeezed into a corner, I mean, he is a very arrogant, proud man. And what he's having to go through and what he's going to have to face is pretty serious. And you know what happens? You wake up in the morning and he's been found dead. And
This is maybe your first serious prediction of the morning. So we should keep him on. That's certainly one we can check in on again in another year, and we'll see how close he might have come to that. So, Star, let's just look at the big stuff for starters, because we can't go into a kind of psychic prediction mode for all of us at this stage. It's probably not that interesting to everyone else who's listening, but certainly there are things that you can say you are feeling in the energy that you are getting a sense of for South Africa, for the world going into 2022. It's a brand new year. What do you reckon? I mean, what do you think's going to happen? And where are we placed as a country? Where are we placed as individuals? What's the world looking forward to? What should we be afraid of?
Okay. Well, basically, the thing we should be afraid of is fear. Okay, so let's take the vaccination with COVID, and you can always tell the people which don't actually want to go and have the vaccination, because of course people are drinking the blood of children and it's going to be magnetized, and when you turn on 5G, we're all going to become electric. But the thing is, when you are walking a path of higher truth, the one thing you've got to avoid is fear. And I found that people which are walking into having the vaccination, it's almost like a paradigm shift which is taking place. I know with me, when I had my vaccination, everything changed. Everything shifted. I could see things. My psychic abilities were, I mean, of course, we're all psychic, but my psychic abilities were heightened. And it's something that we all have to go through on the earth. So basically, we all live in a 3D reality, okay? Your car, the sea, the sky. And we're moving to a 5D reality. And a 5D reality is where you realize you can request from the universe what it is that you want, that the spoken word is sacred. And we are going to become far more heightened, especially as older ones, because the younger crowd which are coming along are already very evolved. I mean, the way that I see it in the future, it is no longer going to be male and female. We are just going to be humans, and our genitalia will either be feminine or masculine, but everybody is going to be free to love. Well, I mean, we are free, but I mean, like, totally free, where we're going to have this balance of male and female. So where I see South Africa going, we are one of the few countries that is learning to live with COVID. Mm-hmm. We're learning to work with it. Mm-hmm. I think that England and America, we are in for some huge shakeups with government. I got this feeling about Biden. I'm not too sure how, whether he's going to, he's not exactly healthy either. No. We could get a shock where he suddenly goes. I'm concerned about Russia and what's happening in Europe. Also concerned about China, because I'm 100% convinced that the COVID virus came out of the Wuhan lab.
Right.
It was a mixture of bat, pangolin, and human, and it was almost a form.
I think she's frozen.
Of course, then there would be huge, there'd be huge panic. So it was all covered up. But there's definitely rumblings of disturbance and war. And it's very important that as we move into a 5D reality, we control the thoughts that we think, so that we focus on what it is that we want. Because people like us are the dreamers. And if we can all collectively dream a beautiful new reality going forward, so our lives will turn out for the better. And I love South Africa. This is the best country in the world.
I want to get into the specifics for South Africa in a second. I like what you said about how we're going to learn to live with COVID, because that's something that some people have been just avoiding for the longest time. They're like, oh, well, you know, it's either I'm going to have my whole life thrown upside down and being locked down forever, and we're never going to get back to normal because of COVID. Or they're those people who are like, I don't give a shit about this thing, and I never have anyway. But I will say up front, Star, because you need to know this, that you probably do already, but Bulelo and I are like ultra cynics and ultra skeptics, and we're very, we're circumspect about the kind of thing that you do for a living. I do want, however, to be clear about the fact that we're open-minded and we're keen to hear, because you never know. There might be something that you drop in that, despite all of our misgivings, sounds like it might be useful to us. And there are probably lots of people, there are many more people, I think, who are into the kind of thing that you do. How did you discover your psychic abilities? How did you get into this world? How did it all start?
Well, I'd always sort of had this, I wasn't aware of it until 1987, and I was modeling in Spain, and I was hanging out with the group U2, and they took me to one of their concerts.
Wow.
When I got home, something had happened, something had shifted, something had changed. And I came back to South Africa because I was told I was going to be on TV, and I had to like be out there, and everything started to happen. Everything started to be put into place. But basically, I went through a very, very difficult custody battle about 21 years ago, and children were removed. And the only way I could contact them was by like having to connect with my mind. And I found a pack of tarot cards. So basically, it just built up and built up. I used to sit outside a little gothic nightclub and do all the goths as they came out. I used to practice doing tarot readings for them. Uh-huh. So eventually, I've moved down to Cape Town and was found by these websites. And I've basically dedicated myself to be able to guide and help people. The majority of the work that I do is guiding people with relationships. You have no idea how many people are having affairs. And of course, the minute you have an affair, without judgment, you're bringing in the most hectic karma. So it's teaching people how to balance out the energy that they have in their life. If you are a good person with boundaries and courage, you can manifest the life that you want. And to be truthful, Gareth, you've had to have a lot of courage. I mean, in this country, you have had the book thrown at you. And people need to realize that when you're becoming successful, you are going to have the people pointing fingers. And you have to be brave. And you are. And I have to say, for Umbulelo, you need to realize that you incarnated when Halley's Comet came along. Okay. Huh. Very important souls that incarnated, and you have a purpose in the future. So you need to make sure as you move forward, you use your voice. Never shy back. Your intelligence is a gift. And once we start taking our gifts for granted, that's when things go wrong. So I want you.
Yes, Bolelo, I hope you're listening. God damn it. Taking your gifts for granted. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, you've got an important journey.
All right.
And then the other thing I do want to say, and I want it to be noticeable, is what's going on in Monaco with Princess Charlene.
Yeah, what is going on with her? Because the only people who would know are the psychics, because none of us can get any other information.
Well, exactly. And it's really scary because none of it is making sense. So she comes over here and first of all, Albert was found out to have a love child, in December. Mm-hmm. The next minute, Charlene's shaving the side of her head. As soon as a woman shaves the side of her head, you can tell that stuff's going on. So she comes to South Africa, which is very difficult for Monaco to try and explain to people why she's here. So he comes over, brings the children, says she must come back. And then as soon as she comes back, of course, she's going to go to a secret location because she has to heal. And that's very easy to explain to the public. But those children are being used as weapons. There is no way on God's earth that she would be away from her children if she was needing to heal. If anything, the children are going to help her heal. And I would, I could press a button, would have somebody like you do with some of the Arabian princesses, mm-hmm. which go missing.
Yes.
I think she's been silenced. She's not allowed to say anything. And Albert is putting on this big pretense that he's a loving and adoring father. But in actual fact, he's holding those children hostage. And of course, they are not her children. They are his children. So big, big warning bells for her. Somebody should be interfering.
Well, you need a rescue. We've called her Prisoner Charlene instead of Princess Charlene pretty much from the get-go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we are being played.
Now, you said something about like how when a woman shaves the side of her head, that's usually a sign that something's wrong. Now, I always say, and don't take this as an insult, but people are already asking in the comments, I always say people who have very extraordinary color hair, there's something going on there as well. I always say alarm bells. Now, why is your hair so pink? Someone said you should be, if you're star brown, it should be your hair should be brown. What's with the pink hair, star brown?
I don't know. Okay, well, the reason why it was a pink hair originally, which was about 2 months ago, was it was going to be a beautiful pale oyster pink. And then I did it, and it was like this, and it was the opposite of how I felt, because I'm very sort of private, keep to myself.
Yeah. Usually people who have that kind of hair color, they're looking for attention. They're not very private, right?
Peace, love, and happy. And then I started to go pulled up and what? And they wanted to touch it, and they loved it. And they'd be pointing out that mommy, that lady's got pink hair. And I decided that it brought happiness to people. I'd be walking into shops, and they'd go, "Oh, you look so bright! It looks so amazing." And it's actually a really good disguise. It's sort of people look at the hair, and they don't look at me.
Okay.
So if I'm feeling really like grotty, or I just want to pop out somewhere, it distracts people. It's almost like holding a mirror up. But I mainly have kept it like this because it does bring a lot of joy to children.
All right.
Even, I mean, there was some hot punk guy on his skateboard, and he was like, "Hey, lady, your hair is really cool." So I just kept it.
All right, let's talk about Leanne. She needs to know what the future holds in store for her. She's had a couple of really shit years, and she's looking for something to pep her up.
Okay, well, I do see Leanne, because I was wondering why? Because we spoke before, and you asked if you were going to have a child. Do you remember that? I've been on the show twice before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving in the car, and I was thinking about you. And the message that just came through was, you can actually do whatever it is you want to do. I mean, you can go to your best friend. You can get what's needed in a syringe.
No, she's too old. She's barren. She's too old.
77. Is she really? No, she's not.
Gareth. I'm not.
But that was my message to you. And you know what I can suggest to you? And you can just trust me on this. I know it sounds a little bit woo-woo, but at least try it. So write down the things that you want to manifest the year going forward. Okay, the big things, 5 or 6 big things, but also the little things. I want to see a yellow beetle. I want someone to buy me a lunch bar. The minute you start working on it and being conscious of it is the minute you start to see how the universe responds back to you. And the other thing you can do is light a candle for about 3 hours, and you ask for the angels to come into your life and guide you forward. What this does is it protects and guides your spiritual journey. So if you are moving from 3D to 5D, where the universe talks to you, you have to go through the 4D experience, which is where you deal with karma. It can be karma from your ancestors. It can be karma of things that you've done up until the age that you are now. But as you work through karma, life is not trying to wound you or hold you back. It's trying to bring you wisdom. And if you can be objective rather than reactive, you can get and do whatever it is you want. However, you cannot have fear. The most important lesson is to know everything is working in your favor. And I'm told very clearly that your wishes are going to be realized. So make sure you're turning the wheel backwards. And
that better be a money tree.
If you want a money tree, then that's, I promise you, you can write down how much you want to earn. But if you just leave it and just let life happen, it's not going to come. So you do it as an experiment and it'll work. It'll change your life.
It's so interesting. You talk about manifestation, and I'm seeing a lot of trends, you know, come up. I hadn't thought of it before. Apologies to Michael Pfister, who is calling me Anne because I talk about myself.
Oh, well, that's kind of what we have you here for.
Yeah, so.
Exactly, yeah.
But the manifestation thing, I've actually started doing it. You know, I am a cynic like Gareth and Bulelo. So I have a huge taste for manifestation coming up. And if it works, I'll be all for it.
It will work. And more people are starting to realize this. Our thoughts are energy. And because we all are unconscious with our thoughts and we just live life, you've got this dark matter that's out there, which causes the chaos and the problems. But because the world is shifting, I mean, if you look at the films that got released, The Matrix has just been released and Don't Look Up has been released. All of those are the light workers, as we call them, giving messages to the world. And this is all shifting people's consciousness. And as I said, these youngsters which are coming about are absolutely beautiful. And if you can start working and manifesting, you can smash the glass ceilings of your dreams. You really can. But you have to start being conscious of it to be aware of it. So
Star, I wanted to,
thank you.
Star, I wanted to ask you, with regards to sort of the process you go through in terms of looking forward and backwards and whatever it may be, is do you ever do sort of a psychic analysis for loved ones? Like a surgeon is often prevented from operating on a loved one. It's often discouraged and illegal in some countries. Do you do it for, I don't know, sister, mom, whoever you find close, or do you have to be separate from the person?
In her own family and with her own friends?
Yeah. I mean, even on you, like do you do readings on yourself, or does it need to be somebody you've never met so that we're all human? I mean, we are having the 3D experience, as you were saying, so we are fallible to human brains. Does a psychic need to be completely separate from you, from Star Brown, to give you your readings, or do you do your own for yourself?
No, I don't do readings at all. I mean, to tell you the truth, when somebody comes to you for a reading, okay, you have people saying, am I going to buy the house? Am I going to go overseas? Am I going to fall in love with him? We have the choice to make that decision for ourselves. But when people are really lost, they want someone else to make the decision for them.
Right.
And that is why it's very important, the person that you actually go to, because in my role, where the church or the religion has let somebody down, they will come to somebody like me. I mean, you do not have to be holy to create holy water. You can bless the water with the Holy Spirit, and you have your holy water. You do not have some sort of medal to wear to talk to God. You can use prayer, whoever you are. So I don't like having readings because I'm in control of what it is I want to manifest. I know what I put into the world every day. So I know what it is that I'm going to reap. And another important thing to have is to slow down life just a little, because the universe's timing is slower than earthly timing, and have patience. If you can just slow down, the stepping stones if you are focused and you're using your consciousness to create your life, because reality is fluid. So if you can slow down, the road will rise up to meet you, and you don't need to have a reading. But the majority of people are very, very lost, especially with love, because I'm finding that it's the woman, the female energy, which is now starting to lead the relationship. Hmm. And that's why for you, Umbulelo, I did have a message about you getting involved with a woman. Okay. Oh. She is not going to fit the traditional role of cooking your meal and doing your, bringing your slippers. You don't want someone like that. You want to find your other half who is going to complement you so that the two of you can be a power couple. She needs to have a conscience. She needs to do good in the world, and she will lift you to greater heights. So don't go out there looking for the sexier mama who wears all the fancy nail varnishes and lipsticks. You can't have a traditional woman. You need someone who's going to really lift you, and you can work together as a team, like Harry and Meghan, for example.
Not the lady who's doesn't like wearing socks, Mbulelo.
Yeah, not her. Not some superficial.
Not
idiot.
Her.
Okay,
you
but
someone,
this is very good news, because we were really convinced, like, Mbulelo would be on his own, alone, so alone for all time, and we were convinced.
I don't think so.
No woman who would be able to put up with him.
Oh, someone will put up with him. It'll be a meeting of intellect,
all right,
and of heart and soul. It'll be a combination.
Yeah, I mean, this is not the first time we've had you on, and we'll have you on again, and then we'll see how we'll compare the notes and see how it's gone for Mbulelo later on. So what else do we need to look out for in South Africa? I mean, this country's been through a huge amount of shit, and we've really put up with a lot of nonsense, and we've had terrible leaders, and we continue to have awful people in charge of us, and yet we are extraordinarily resilient. And we have an enormous amount of energy in this country and opportunity. So what do you see coming up?
Well, I think that our country is just going to get better and better. I think the worms are going to start coming out. We had to, if we talk about karma, we had to go through what we went through in this country. And I also want you to be aware that from a 5D reality, where there is fire, it's almost like a message, a spiritual message that's coming through to us. So it was quite uncanny that Tutu passed. Mm. He had his funeral. And of course, he didn't go through cremation. He went through that new water process. And suddenly, Parliament is on fire. Mm. Of course, Parliament was on fire. It has to be burned, because out of the fire, the phoenix will rise. And I think that we have God's country. It is the most exquisite country in the world. I mean, sitting in Cape Town today and looking at a film on England, and I'm going, oh my God, I could never, ever live there. This country and the people in this country are magnificent. And we've now got this, these group of people which were born in the 80s, which are now finding their voice. And I think there's going to be a whole new South Africa that's going to be coming as we move forward. But, of course, all the shit has to come to the surface. It has to be seen, you know, and it has to be dealt with.
There's something to be said. I mean, listen, poets and artists and people who are trying to find deeper meaning in existence. You know, I wondered about what the symbolism of Parliament burning was, because we can look at it and go, oh, well, this is a crime, and obviously it's a disaster.
Well, exactly, yes.
And it cost us a fortune. But you almost want to... You sort of want to find some more important and symbolic reason for this to be happening. And what you've just said now has just suddenly opened me up to this. I hadn't thought of that before. And again, I'm not by any means some kind of spiritual, you know, looking for the answers, seeker kind of person. But it is interesting, like, Parliament burning is hugely symbolic. And wherever something like that happens in the world, there's usually something at play, and it's not just a fire.
Exactly. Now, that's how you need to look at it. You don't need to go to the extremes. But when you see something like that happening, it was like last night when I saw Prince Andrew's royal title being taken, it was like, oh, my, this is really good. Because the Windsors are so terrified of losing their position, that when you try and hold on to something desperately, it all gets knocked down.
But, so that's true for relationships. And you said something else just now. I mean, this is useful because you've also seen lots and lots of people, and you speak to people, and you do give them
hundreds, thousands.
You give them advice. You do it on TV. You do all this kind of thing, and people love it because, as you say, sometimes they want someone else to make the decision for them. But you said something earlier about the karma around cheating, and I think this is maybe where you can help people who even those of us who are extremely cynical about psychic abilities or the spiritual realm or any of that stuff. Through your experience with people who have cheated, tell me about what that karma is and how it manifests itself and what it does to people. Because cheating doesn't just have a real world dimension to it. That people carry baggage, they take it into their next relationship. There's a lot that goes on with cheating.
Absolutely. And you have to remember that the whole sexual union is a transfer of energy. So when you are sleeping with someone, you are sleeping with all the people that they've slept with. And I have
so many...
I know, right? So I have so many women, and could you please tell me about blah blah blah, and I say, is he single? And they say, no, he's not. And then I try and warn them not to get involved, because every single person down the line gets hurt at first, of course, because they have this passion that they have this attraction to the person, mm-hmm. that they can't say no. So they climb into bed with the guy. Now, if this is the first time that he's cheated, he usually feels guilty and he goes back to his partner, and then the other person is left brokenhearted and it takes them forever to get over it. But when you are in a relationship with someone, it is a sacred union, and you are saying that I will only be with you. And if you step outside that, down the line, when you are in a happy marriage, somebody will do it to you where you will be cheated on. And I see it. It's the pattern over and over. No good. Okay, like 0.01% people find their partners. But the majority of the time, it brings so much pain because it's not how it's meant to be. A man and a woman, or man and a man, or a woman and a woman, we are meant to be one as individuals coming together. You can't bring another person into it.
Listen.
It's interesting as well how that sometimes having an affair of some sort is almost a lazy way of bringing trauma to the relationship, where you can feel that the relationship's coming to an end, but you're not willing to sit down and talk it through, or you don't quite know what it is that you want to end in the relationship, and so you physically bring in that trauma.
Yeah, like
you can always blame it on that and
like
say,
person,
they had an affair. So.
Like a person would do a constructive dismissal at work. You know, you make someone's job so horrible at work that they eventually resign, so you don't have to fire them.
Well, that's why the teenage years are so important. And, you know, most people like lock teenagers away. But it's like drinking, for example, when they suddenly turn 18, oh, you can have a drink. As parents, when they're like 16, teach them. Here's a glass of wine. This is what it feels like. And it's the same with relationships. We are going to bang our heads and learn things while we are teenagers into our early 20s. But it's the people which don't do that, that suddenly they're married with three kids and they're like 45 and they decide to step outside the relationship, and then they go, oh my God, I wish I hadn't done that. So the majority of my job is trying to encourage people not to do it, but human desire is very strong. And some women are like rampant. They get off on the fact that they can be above another woman by getting her man. But wow. It usually ends in tears.
Yeah, it's been some... I mean, I can't say again, this is an every case scenario, but when I see people who've started a relationship on cheating, like let's say two people get together because it started with one of them cheating on their spouse or whatever, it invariably ends with cheating. And that seems a truism, regardless of what you believe or what you think of the emotional world or whether or not you're this kind of person or that kind of person.
100%.
So what sort of questions do people mostly have for you besides relationship stuff? The relationship stuff would seem to be obvious to me, but what do they come to you for, Star?
I've got one woman who is having a relationship with a ghost. It's a very famous act. I'm serious. She is very intelligent. Okay.
All right.
A brilliant writer. And this guy is a very famous author in Europe. And he died a year ago after 40 years of marriage. And this woman met him about 6 years ago. He was giving a lecture. Well, he dies and he appears to her. And the sex is amazing. I mean, I have to sit there.
Ghost sex.
And
ghost sex? Well, is that Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore?
Well, exactly. That sort of, exactly. And... and then I will talk to her about it because I can get into the headspace where she's coming from. But then she contacted me last week and she showed me a photograph of the author with his wife, okay, taken like 30 years ago, and saying, you can see he doesn't want to be with her. Can you see how he hates her? And I just got this horrible, horrible feeling inside because this was a sacred union that the two of them had. And, you know, I can take dealing with the affairs and things like that. But when I hear people just being cruel and nasty and vicious, I have to stop them in their tracks. There was another woman who's been having an affair for 5 years with her boss. Hmm. And he asked her to come to the office. Nobody in the office knows. And he didn't want her to wear any panties. So she lasted until 12 o'clock.
Bow, chicka, bow, wow.
And she put her panties on. And he got so angry and he wasn't speaking with her. And how should she deal with it? And of course, I'm trying to give them this empowerment and the women just don't want to hear it. So it's a lot of women sort of finding themselves and finding out who they are. There's a lot of people. What I have found as well is that women, and I'm not being gender specific here, but I do have to mention it, that what women do is they give and they give and they give and they give to a man. And a lot of men, if they're not sort of evolved and living a conscious life, they take. And if you are with a woman and you gave, she would give back. But what happens to men is, because they've also been spoiled by their mothers, they take and they sit there and they think that, and they don't give back. And eventually the woman gets absolutely exhausted. He's sort of sitting on his pedestal saying, well, you know what, if you don't want to do this for me, then, you know. And what happens is, well, that's when I suggest that people should have a separation for 2 months, because even the strongest, most dogmatic man does not realize what his life is like without having his partner in his life. So you separate and suddenly you start to value each other. So I'm doing a lot of that, trying to empower the woman to find her confidence. But yeah, I get very weird stuff that comes through. Very weird.
I'm interested with something like a ghost relationship. Does the ghost ever change clothes? Do you ever ask these kinds of questions? You know, because if you're perceiving something, you perceive
change
it as it is whole.
No, but,
but this is important. If you're, okay. you don't see things like that blurry, right? I'm sure to her it's crystal clear. Does he pitch up sometimes wearing a raincoat? You know what I mean? I'm always interested.
I would not know about the clothes. You also have to be very careful of, because I've done a lot of training with CBT and schizophrenia and trauma and things like that. So I've also got the psychological side. So, of course, you do have to be very careful and it can get quite manic. So I don't know whether he changes clothes. I just know that they have a union in the outer sphere and he has the most powerful orgasms and, yeah.
Stop.
Because Swayze could make a pot as a ghost. He could do a pot thing.
You know, it always interests me how when people speak to, you know, ghosts, other dimensional beings, aliens, dead people, whatever it might be, whenever psychics and people who have these experiences talk about this, they never ask the questions that I would want to ask. Because my first question would be, where are you? Describe what you see on your side. Like, I'm curious about what the other side looks like and who's there and how did it feel and what did you go through when you died? And those are the questions I'm interested in, not this bullshit about, like, a relationship with a ghost.
I mean, there was a young girl that I was very close to who committed suicide after her mother died. And because I don't like communicating with those which were crossed over, if you get this feeling like, all of us will get the feeling. You know, if you lose someone close to you and your lights start flickering, you kind of go, I know who that is. You know, we do as humans have that sort of ability. And all I could see was how beautiful and exquisite it was on the other side. But I have to say, while you're bringing this up, the only thing I had during the whole COVID thing was because, you know, we don't know who's going to cross over. That's a big thing with COVID. We all had to face our mortality.
We did. We knew it was mostly people with comorbidity. So the fat people.
Yes.
Very old people.
But also, there's also been, I mean, there's doctors.
W ring finger. We knew they'd have problems.
There are also just people which had nothing wrong with them. And they've died.
There were a few of those, sure.
It's almost as though certain souls had to leave now. And they are going on to wherever it is that they're going to go on to, because this is my journey at the moment, trying to figure out exactly what it is you just said. Like, where does it go?
I mean,
what is it?
Because no one asks the simple questions like, what age are you in the other, heaven, hell, the next world, the next dimension, whatever the hell it might be. I mean, I can't describe it because I haven't been there yet. But if there is something else and people are able to communicate through whatever the border is, the barrier is between us and that. How old are you? Do you stay that age? These are the questions I'm interested in. I'm not interested in whether or not, you know, the tingle in your toe was your dead great-granddaughter tickling your foot from another dimension. What's wrong with people that they focus on this dumb stuff when you could ask really interesting questions? Like, what do you guys use to power things? A fusion reactor? What do you got going on there? You know?
Yeah.
Do you still get hay fever?
Yeah.
Like the ghosts or other.
Do you look prettier? Do you look uglier? If you got married twice in a lifetime, are you with the first wife on that side or with the second wife? Yeah, are there fights? Like, how did that? That's the shit I'm interested in. Like, I wouldn't talk to a ghost about boring nonsense like relationships.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so it's an interesting world. We are all growing and learning. And Leanne, I think just the fact that you said you've started this manifesting is like absolutely amazing. And I hope you really start having some of those, oh my God, that was a bit weird. I hope you start having a lot of those moments because that's where I see that the world is going to go. That's why I'm saying that this whole Kardashian wealth, blah, 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 is going to become so old. It's going to be about recycling clothes, you know, like we recycle all sorts of other things. And just this sickness with wealth, I've just got a feeling that those people which are greedy and are gluttonous are just going to be exposed. And we're moving from one old type of reality to a new reality with a lot more soul.
All right. I like that. So, Star, nice to see you again, and have a happy weekend.
And you too.
Thank you for coming to join us. I'm sure that there are people who will be fascinated with some of this, and they're going to be those people who are cynical. You're going to say,
of course,
talking nonsense. But
it's fine,
Leanne. If any of this happens for you, this is amazing, right? And I can see you smiling about it. And let's see what happens. And Bulelo, if we find that girlfriend for you, you never know.
Oh yes, and then Gareth. Gareth, I just want to say as well, our connection with animals, which I'm sure you understand, right?
Sure.
This connection that we've got with animals is so real. And I think that's going to start getting stronger as well. I mean, as they say, people are choosing pets over children now, you know,
it's very
important. So anyway, thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Lovely to see you, Star. Thank you. All right. And we will talk to you again. And Star, of course, on Showmax is Mena Friona and works around the globe on psychic websites and so on. There are obviously spiritual counseling things that she does, in intuitive stuff, psychic reading.
There we go.
All that info. Star Brown in Cape Town, Psychedelics by the Sea. Thank you so much. Nice to see you.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Very good. Cheers. Bye-bye. Well, there's stuff to look forward to, you two. Right? Mm.
Yeah. Awesome.
Let's get George Meany on. I haven't seen George for a while. Hey, George, happy New Year, George, because Bulelo loves...
Oh, my goodness, George. What a flex. Oh, my word.
What do you got going on in the background? What is that, George? What is that?
Oh, my goodness, George. This is like that time he had a plane behind him. Remember the first time he launched...
George, get out of the way. Let us see that car.
Oh, my word.
What is it? Wow, that's beautiful. We were just talking with Star Brown about how materialist and, you know, like people who have amazing stuff, that's going to go out. I'm not ready to go there yet. George, what is that? That's amazing.
That is the new BMW Electric iX SUV. Sheesh,
looks fantastic.
Wow.
Sure. Hmm. And if you were a Hotzentot, you'd call it the BMW.
This car drives beautifully. It's a proper full-size SUV. You know, my I-Pace is a compact SUV. It's not very big. This thing is big. This thing feels like you're driving a big SUV. It's the first SUV of its size in South Africa. It drives beautifully.
So, George, it's a hell of a way to start the year. Obviously, you guys have the most incredible insight into what people are buying, what people are selling, what's going on in the world of cars. Obviously, for the last couple of years, all anyone's talking about is these electric cars. Is South Africa making any progress on that front? Are we selling more of them?
We definitely are, Gareth. I mean, the numbers are small still. So what we're seeing on Autotrader is an increase in searches in the hundreds of percents. Now the base number is low, so you know, don't take the hundreds of percents, as the world will change tomorrow. So yes, we are making progress. The government and NAMSA and a couple of other industry bodies prepared what was called a green paper last year. You'll see in the next couple of months that will turn into a white paper, which is government's commitment to a greener future with electric vehicles. And we've got over 300 charging stations in South Africa. I've been living with an EV since last year, July. It hasn't missed a beat. I haven't had range anxiety, any of that stuff. So I definitely think we're gonna get there. Sales are starting to climb. As a matter of fact, and I'll mention this one first. South Africa's cheapest electric car officially went on sale in December last year,
last month.
Goes for 230,000 Rand, and it is called the Alexa City Bug. I'll post a link for you.
Let me have a look at that.
It's called the Alexa City Bug. Now, don't expect this to be, you know, the BMW iX of the world. This is really trying to get electric vehicles into everybody's hands.
Okay, well, let me show you a picture of it, and then we can all just discuss whether we like the look of this thing or not. I mean, obviously, some of these cars...
It's a little bit ugly.
Well, it's not great, but then, as you say, what do you expect, you know? You want the fanciest car in the world? You got to pay for it then. If you don't want something, extraordinarily fancy and expensive, then take one of these. There's nothing wrong with this. Looks like a quite cute car.
It's functional.
Comes in different colors.
It does have multiple vibes.
Not really, no. I think that's very unfair, Leanne. You know how I feel about a Fiat Multipla. Let me just see if I can get a picture of this up here. Hang on.
So while you're getting a picture up there, Gareth, it's powered by a 9 kilowatt hour battery and a 4 kilowatt electric motor. Now, those are small elements which bring the cost of the car right down. It's got a range of 100 kilometers, but who does more than 50, 60 kilometers on your commute in a day?
Yeah, that's true. So this is the cheapest electric car. How much is it again?
230,000 Rand.
It's still quite expensive.
It's pricey. It's pricey. But bear in mind that a lot of the taxes and import duties and all those things are causing the 230,000 Rand. Remember, we spoke about 25% import tax on an electric vehicle. And then there's taxes north of that as well. So this car could effectively be almost half its price once the white paper and the government starts to move in this direction.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, a government has got to really get their act together in terms of these taxes and these import duties. If they mean business with regard to electric vehicles, then they should start walking the talk instead of just saying it.
Exactly.
Did you see government in the Johannesburg?
Yes,
the first meeting of the year in the council.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know so much.
I don't know so much. At
that. Well, that leads me to the first story, Gareth, and that is remember the R2 demerit system that we've all been talking about?
This is a big story, this. Thank goodness for Alta. This is very, very impressive.
This is impressive. And I mean, in layman's terms, basically what happened was Alter applied that this act wasn't constitutional, mm-hmm. and the court said that national government may not encroach on local government affairs. That's really the layman's kind of high-level version. I mean, there's a lot of detail underneath that. But that's really what the crux of the matter was, is you can't go and tell local government what to do. Every single local government has to run their municipalities the way they see fit.
Huh.
So the demerit system is declared unconstitutional. Hmm.
Yeah, I think this is a great win for Outer, and it obviously proves that, you know, government can't always just get away with making bullshit rules up and trying to enforce a system that is not enforceable. Part of the reason that they struck this down and that the court decided to go with Outer on this is because the government has proven time and time again that municipalities are really poor at administering all of this. And one of the biggest reasons that the Outer system has holes in it is because the people who are going to run it and keep the records and administer it and update it are not very good at doing that already, long before we've even implemented it. And God knows how much money they've already spent on it, right?
Yes, I mean a lot of the systems and thinking. I mean, you can just imagine. I say to people in my business, you know, next time you have a meeting, count the number of people in the meeting. Try and estimate the salaries. If you spent an hour, how much money did you spend, and what actions came out of that meeting?
Good point. I like that, because I hate meetings, and I'm totally. That's a great way of figuring out whether or not it's worth having the meeting.
And you find that people have meetings and they spend like 50,000 rand effectively mm-hmm. on getting nowhere.
This Outer thing is a really great way to start the year, though. I mean, I think, you know, it's a victory for the ordinary citizens. It's a victory for people on the roads who pay for those roads, frankly, through their taxes. And for a really crappy system that government's tried to push through, just like e-tolls, they're going to lose on this, and they're going to keep losing until they stop making stupid ideas and decisions into reality. And I think this is a big victory for ordinary South Africans. Good for them. And well done to the people at Outer.
I think, you know, whether the system in its essence is right or wrong, I'm glad that our court system and our, you know, somebody going up against something actually works. You know, it's not just government that can push everything around.
Right.
And, you know, so whether it's right or wrong, I think the fact that the system works gives you confidence that you can go and say, like, well, I don't agree with that. Let's go to court.
Right. Excellent. What else is in the news?
So do you believe that a goldfish can drive? This group of scientists decided that they were going to take a goldfish, mount it on top of a car, and see if they could teach this goldfish to drive. Now, you know, you can encourage animals to do things based on the food, and they did exactly that. If initially the goldfish was very confused, didn't know what the hell was going on, but then started to realize that its movements inside the tank actually moved the car.
No.
And then started making a correlation between its movements and the car's movements, and made it to the destination, which was its
no
food.
No way. That's insane. So this goldfish drove a car. I'm sorry. Have we run out of important things to solve that we're not letting goldfish drive cars?
There's actually an orangutan who drives a golf cart. I can send you videos. It's a true thing. But I mean, I was barely ready for that. Never mind this.
Goldfish are you know, famous for being really, really stupid and having a very short memory.
Stupid.
You're telling me that these things can... That's the goldfish that was driving a car. Good Lord. Unbelievable.
And, you know, like people say, the memory of a goldfish.
Yeah,
I'm not so sure that that's accurate anymore.
Yeah, clearly. If it can drive a car, it's doing better than the average South African who we know we can't drive in this country.
And then a young lady in Pennsylvania... Mm-hmm. Was driving with her husband, and she was pregnant. And they had another child in a car who they were taking to school in a Tesla. The lady in started to feel labor pains, and she insisted that her husband drive the toddler to school first before they go to the hospital to kind of see whether this baby was actually coming now or not. They dropped the toddler off at school, and no doubt shortly after that, her water broke and she started having the baby.
Oof.
Inside the car, and then they hit traffic. So what this gentleman did was he put on autopilot, let the car drive itself, and helped deliver the baby. By the time they got to the hospital, the baby was out.
Yeah, obviously, if you don't have a self-driving car, that's a whole lot more complicated.
What a story for that kid growing up.
Yeah.
Born inside a Tesla.
Mm. Born while the Tesla was driving itself. Thank good thing that
exactly.
This is amazing, and you know these cars basically do drive themselves now, especially these extraordinary new inventions they're coming up with in places like Silicon Valley. Obviously, we're still a way off of everybody being in self-driving cars, but that's when it'll be fantastic, when no human being is at the wheel, because then the machines will make much much less in the way of mistakes than we do. And driving will become a whole lot safer. And then, auto won't be necessary then. So thank goodness auto went and got rid of it now, because it won't be necessary in the future anyway.
I'd like to imagine that babies being born today potentially wouldn't have to get a driver's license.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
Hopefully. Yeah. Maybe driving gets relegated to the racetrack, like horses got relegated to the racetrack when cars came around.
Right, exactly.
In most sophisticated countries, it's easier in Switzerland to use public transport than drive. Like people always make the inverse. People think countries with more cars means you're sophisticated. It's the other way around. Your public transport tells you where your country is, not the amount of cars on the road. It's an interesting thing you're saying there, George.
Exactly. And to that point, Mbolelo, France has just made a law that a government has decided that it requires automakers to promote walking, biking, and taking public transport in their car ads. So in the car, if you make a car ad and you want to put it on TV or billboards, you have to, in that ad, promote walking and taking public transport.
Oh, God, government. They're always trying to fucking crowbar themselves into everything. Now, if you're watching a car ad, do you really need some goddamn pedestrian crossing a street, climbing onto a bus?
Out of everything we've spoken about, that's the thing that gets Gareth.
You're selling a car.
Why are they going after
motor manufacturers to try and make them not use the people's product? I mean, for heaven's sake, you're selling a car. The antithesis of selling a car is telling people to use public transport. This is dumb, dumb, dumb. You can imagine the bureaucrats sitting in a room going, well, this is a good idea. We'll force all the people who make cars to advertise not selling cars. Morons.
Well, they want to justify the amount of money they just spent in that meeting.
Oh, God. You know, really, the true parasites of society are sitting in rooms doing dumb things like that. And then we sit around here and we're like, that's a good idea. It's not a good idea. This is ridiculous. Which country is that?
France.
Oh. Sacre bleu. Good for shooting.
Well, that's it for this week, and it's nice to be back.
It's very nice to have you back, George. What's on the agenda for you for this year? You already fly planes, and you drive amazing cars, and you pretty much have tried out every kind of transport in the last couple of years. What's on your agenda for this year?
You've got solar power at home.
Exactly.
You eat bowls of broccoli.
You're teaching us about the 21st century in every move you make.
Oh, I'm just trying to live as long as possible, Gareth, so I can see that self-driving world. But what's on the cards for this year? We have just launched a brand new product called Instant Offer.
What's that?
We're busy rolling it out suburb for suburb. It started off at Randburg and Sandton, and then we extended it to some suburbs around, including Pretoria. Mm-hmm. In the next couple of days, we're going to extend it to the entire Gauteng. Our theory is that For all the people that are visiting AutoTrader, which is approximately 10 million visits a month, buying a car, surely they have one to sell. So AutoTrader is a buying platform, and we've just got kind of a little bit. I don't want to use the word irritated, but we think that selling a car in South Africa is still too difficult. So buying a car, we've tried to make that as easy as possible. Awesome. Now we're going to focus on selling your car. So if you've got a car to sell, we've got a platform called Instant Offer where AutoTrader will come out, we'll help value the car, we'll help make sure that you don't get done in, we'll make sure you get the best service and the best experience and the best price possible.
I love it. Thanks for letting us know about that too. There are going to be a lot of people who not just want to buy but want to sell, and now you can help them with that as well. So there we go, Auto Trader. And don't forget that the Auto Central show is on, the Auto Trader show is on Mondays, and you can catch that here on cliffcentral.com or download it as a podcast whenever you like. George, it's always good to see you. Thank you so much.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers, George. There's George Meany, the CEO of Auto Trader, and that is a wrap for us. We will see you on Monday at 6 a.m. Have a good weekend, everybody. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.